Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. What do the new results out of Ohio mean for the midterms? Are Democrats favored to win anything at all? And also, a new announcement from Turning Point, PAC, tppac.com. That is tppac.com, where you guys can contribute some grassroots donations to help America First candidates across the country. That's tppac.com. We talked with Tyler Boyer about that and the need to reclaim the America First mantle from the ground up. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com or email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I want to lead with this one thing. I have a friend of mine who's a wonderful American from Dallas who's in real estate, probably one of the top private owners of apartment buildings in the country. And he just said, "Hey, Charlie, I want you to see these rent inflation crazy numbers." I'm not going to say his name just to, you know, for obvious reasons. But so this is the last 30 move-ins, okay? So Phoenix, for example, for the last 30, the average prior rent used to be $1,325 a month for his, and he owns apartment buildings all over Phoenix. Now it's $1,693 a month. That means that rent has gone up 27.8% on average in Phoenix in his last 30 move-ins. Austin, 23%. San Antonio, 21%. Dallas-Fort Worth, 18%. North Carolina, 16%. Houston, 15%. The real inflation rate, I said this the other day, and someone laughed at me. When they laugh at us, that's how you know we're probably right. I said the real inflation rate's 35%. I said it's right near there. For working people, that's about where it is. If you count gas, you count food, you count travel, you count all that other stuff. So Andrew and I were talking in the break. He says, I don't know. Have we peaked too early? Andrew said, are we going to be able to sustain this in November? I said, look at these rent numbers. You're trying to tell me people are going to keep the people in charge over this? I don't know, but someone who does know is Richard Barris from the People's Pundit, and he's wearing a tie just to make me look bad. Big data polls, Richard Barris. Richard, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
So a lot to unpack here. Let's start with kind of what happened in Ohio. What does that message send? What does your polling show? How big of a deal is what just happened in Ohio?
You know, it's a big deal, Charlie, for the future of the party, the direction of the party. You know, the Trump-endorsed candidates outside of J.D. Vance even did great. There was the first congressional district in Indiana. She won. So, you know, I mean, there's – and oh, and by the way, Ohio 9. So that was a race the media definitely was watching and trying to take out, you know, take down the Trump-endorsed candidate. He did pull it off, and he did incredible in the outside of Toledo, which is where a lot of people thought that Gavaroni would do better. You know, so in the end, if you look at where Vance specifically got his support from, the reason I think a lot of these polls messed up outside of Vance is 100% correct. Outside of Remington, which was polling for another campaign, they were just wrong. Some of the other public polls didn't really catch Vance's full support, because when a pollster does a likely voter model, I suspected this was happening, and it did. There were those new Trumplicans. They're not really Republicans. Ohio has a lot of them. And they'll tell you, I'm going to vote. I'm likely to vote, or I'm certain to vote. But then the pollster will go back and look at vote history. And in a primary, if they're not a 2 out of 4 voter, meaning they voted in at least 2 out of the last 4 primaries, they'll get screened out. And because these voters are newly Republican and it's closed primary, they didn't have much vote history. And you could see it all over Mahoning, Albert Youngstown, Trumbull, the election day in Wood in the Northwest, just south of Toledo. That was Trump vote. That is Trump vote. And then Vance did excellent, obviously, in Cleveland, Hamilton County, and the suburbs around it. So, At the end of the day, it sent a very clear message. The president still has a very strong grip on the Republican Party, without a doubt.
So heading into November, how do we feel? There is this Washington Post story that says that Democrats have now taken the lead on the generic ballot. Is that right? What does that mean? Do Republicans ever lead in the generic ballot? How do you think things are trending? It's still early, but where do you think things are going to shake out coming into November?
That poll, along with the YouGov poll, is garbage. I'm going to get more aggressive as time goes on here because they have no shame. I mean, that is the poll that had Biden up by 17 points in the state of Wisconsin. Even in their own polling, when they asked, who do you trust more to handle on the issues, on all of the top issues, Republicans had double digit leads. So I don't know how you have a 20-point lead for Republicans on trust to handle inflation, inflation being the number one issue in your poll, and yet Democrats have a 1-point lead. I mean, Charlie, it's just, this is getting to the point of fraud. It really is. I mean, it's beyond, we have polling disagreements. This is fraud.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's so smart. And I mean, inflation. So let's go through the issues. What are the top three issues, Richard, that you're seeing, not in California, like whatever, but in like the districts that matter and the states that matter? What are the top three issues for voters right now?
So we always ask, we say cost of living, you know, slash inflation, because it means different things to different people. The economy and jobs. COVID is a single digit issue now. There was a time when crime and immigration were battling for number three. We're in the field this week, so we'll have brand new numbers soon. For that past that last month, national security and foreign policy did tie for number three, because what happened is that some of those crime and immigration voters, with everything that was going on in Ukraine, became interested in that. Now, strangely, that doesn't mean people favored more intervention in Ukraine, not at all. In fact, many of them chose that issue because they were worried that Joe Biden may escalate it. So even on that issue, in our polling, Republicans had a 17-point lead on national security voters, on jobs in the economy. It was 21 points for Republicans with jobs in the economy, and about 19 points for inflation. So this is the problem Democrats are going to have: COVID, healthcare, the environment, you know, things that people trust Democrats more on traditionally. They're just not at the forefront of people's minds. Even abortion, Charlie, which we've been hammering for 36 hours now, even abortion is not necessarily a Democratic issue anymore. So it wasn't in Virginia, and they tried at the last minute to make that an issue. Glenn Youngkin carried those voters up by 8 points. So it depends what district we're in, but generally it's gas, it's groceries, it's housing and shelter. You know, because we do ask specifically about cost of living, and that's it.
Yeah, and so how favored are Republicans on that particular issue?
Double digits, you know, around 20 points. Anywhere between. It's usually around 18 to 22 points. That's a fair range month to month, and even district to district. There are districts out there right now. We're in one right now that's out in California. Biden won this district by 12 points, and voters, including Hispanic voters, overwhelmingly trust Republicans on the issues that they're citing as their top issues. And this is a little bit different. There's some local considerations in these races, but at this point, it's like Charlie, they gave them time to prove their worth. That's the way voters feel at this moment. They gave them time to prove their worth, to keep things generally the same quality of living, only to change all of these things that they said were wrong under Donald Trump. And that didn't happen. So at this point, there's so little Democrats can do to change the narrative of this election or the trajectory of this election. There's so little. Look at the results last night. Look at the turnout disparity in Ohio. Look at that. And that's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's only going to get worse. I mean, the Democrats are going to try to do the Roe versus Wade thing. But I think we must understand that the turnout in Ohio will play Steve Kornacki, where Kornacki said that Republican turnout was up about 28%. Democrat turnout was down significantly. Those are good signs for any party. You want your primary turnout up year over year, and you want the opposition party to be down. Dinesh D'Souza has a real special movie coming out, everybody. In 2020, November 2020, Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off one of the greatest schemes of election fraud never seen before. But they didn't think we would catch them. But we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in a new documentary film called 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by the Salem Media Group, with research from truethevote.org. 2000 Mules is going to be a game changer. 2000 Mules tells the story of the ones who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see actual video surveillance tape. You'll see how we tracked their cell phones to box after box after they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the trailer for yourself. It's 2000mules.com, and check your local listings and get your tickets today at 2000mules.com. And the premiere will be on May 2nd or May 4th. That's a limited release premiere. So go to 2000mules.com. That is 2000mules.com. I'm in the movie. It is a game changer. Check it out right now. 2000mules.com. That is 2000mules.com. I want to play a tape here. Do we have that Steve Kornacki tape? Okay. Play cut 59.
What Ohio looks like. Democratic turnout down 27% in their primary relative to 2018. On the Republican side, turnout up. South Jersey, you know, was the Republican area, the core Republican area in South Jersey where that red wave really hit. The turnout dwarfed what you saw in North Jersey, which is the, you know, which is the reason that was a 3-point race. Republican enthusiasm.
Yep. And we've seen it in our polling. You're starting to see it here again. Two's not a pattern, but two is concerning if you're on the D side of the aisle right now. Steve.
Richard, your thoughts?
Well, it hasn't been two. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, their polls showed in Virginia that Terry McAuliffe was going to win because the electorate was going to be D plus something. In truth, the electorate was D plus barely one, which it should not have been, Charlie, out in California even. When you look at that first round for Devin Nunes' seat in that special, Connie Conway came in first. Now, it's a Republican district, but Democrats are not supposed to get 22% of the vote. They got clobbered in Texas. We all forget about Texas because they want their polls to show that governor's race is going to be tight. It is not going to be tight. Greg Abbott's going to win there. He's going to win in a landslide. The turnout was incredibly disproportionate. But this is what we would expect. And again, when you think about that, when you look at those garbage polls we talked about in the last segment, like YouGov, folks, that's a D plus nine poll. In no universe outside of poorly designed panel polls is there such thing as a D plus nine electorate. Simply doesn't exist. So it shows you.
So tell us, Richard, really quick, what's your polling on the Roe versus Wade abortion deal? Tell us what you got.
Yeah. So we're doing this again right now just to get it updated. But Charlie, we've been looking at abortion in detail for a long time. And the truth is simple. Democrats and some of the weak Republican leaders that follow and believe it, they want Republicans to stay in this constructed box they created for this debate back in the 1990s. The pro-life versus pro-choice designation is very close. We normally have it a point or 3 points in any direction, any given month. So maybe it's pro-choice 2 months ago. It's pro-life by 1 or 2 points the next month. It's very close now. It's not like it was in the mid to late 90s and then early 2000s. Science has, I've said this a million times, but it's true. Science has not been kind to the pro-choice movement. And here's the problem they have. A lot of people, which benefits the Democrats, don't really understand what Roe v. Wade does. So when we ask them about it, the ignorance level is quite high. But we know this. On all of these different state bills, the heartbeat bill, the Pain Protection Act at 20 weeks, late-term abortion bans, the pro-choice voter, meaning voters who identify as pro-choice, still support restrictions on abortion. And ironically, you know, the liberal man has been using American women on this issue for years because women who identify as pro-choice are much more likely than men who identify as pro-choice to support these restrictions. Overall, if you look at something that's like late-term abortion, two-thirds, Charlie, overall support a ban on late-term abortion. Among those who identify as pro-choice, 60% of women versus a bare majority of men. And then even on the Pain Protection Act, it's much more for women are by majority, even those who identify as pro-choice, by majority still support banning abortion after a baby can feel pain at 20 weeks. So every time there's a state who releases their own version of it, we've tested it over the years, and Americans don't support unfettered abortion. They don't.
It's really out of control. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Your cash is getting sucked right out of your wallet with higher prices on gas, groceries, practically everything. Look, you got to take charge of your money right now. So here's a principle that we say. Don't use the big banks that hate you. Bank of America is canceling conservatives. A team member that we have at Turning Point USA literally just had his bank account shut down by Bank of America. Literally no longer allowed to use Bank of America because of his politics. True story. So when you want to consolidate your debt and use equity in your home to do so, to lower your monthly expenses, you have to use my friends, Andrew and Todd, at andrewandtodd.com. You have to know what you're going through. So look, I just had dinner with Andrew and Todd in Orange County. We had a great time. They love the Lord. They know the Bible super well. They're ethical. They're beautiful people. They really are. They're wonderful. And Andrew and Todd aren't brokers. They're bankers who handle your refi loan personally from start to finish. And they're always in your corner. In fact, they're helping me with the problem right now. Just all this nonsense with interest rates and all this, they're helping me clarify it. They're phenomenal to work with. They're responsive. They're Christians. They're conservative. It's andrewandtodd.com to beat inflation by lowering your monthly expenses and protect your greatest asset, your home. So don't use these woke banks. Bank of America, again, my team member, I'm not going to say his name. You guys know him. He's been on our show. Literally, Bank of America sent him a note saying, we are no longer allowing you to bank with us. Boom, like that, all because of politics. Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage share your values. I trust them. That's why I work with them. I hang out with them casually, and I've got to know them really well. They'll treat you right, and that when you use them, you're not using Citibank or Chase or these people that hate your values, that believe in this trans nonsense. Don't use those banks, diversity, equity, inclusion banks. Nope. Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. So just write that down right now. Write it in your phone. You might say, oh, Charlie, I don't need to refinance or whatever. Well, maybe you will 2 months from now. Maybe you young millennials out there, maybe the millennials listening to our show, my fellow millennials, you're going to buy a home soon. Maybe you're getting married and you want to buy something. It's andrewandtodd.com for a quick mortgage checkup. Use the equity in your home before it's too late. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Stop giving money to people who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com love the Lord. They love America. And they're great friends. So I encourage you to use them as your go-to partner for anything mortgage-related. Stop using the banks who hate you, andrewandtodd.com.
Are you sick and tired of the type of people we are sending to Washington, D.C.? I certainly am. And this is something that I've been talking about for quite some time, kind of with our team. And we have the best political mind in the country and certainly the best political mind in Arizona on our team. And he said, we got to start a PAC. Now, it's a political action committee that allows us to get directly involved in races that will pair beautifully with our 501c4 Turning Point Action. And that is now launching today. In fact, it's launched. And the website, just for everyone, it's TPP. So it's TPAC.com. TPPAC.com. Is that right? TPPAC.com. So TPPAC.com. Is that the better way to say it, Andrew? Right? TPPAC.com. And small dollar support, greatly appreciated. We'll talk about what we're actually going to be doing. We'll have it on screen. And with us is the mastermind, chief strategist, and chief troublemaker for Turning Point PAC, Tyler Boyer. Tyler, how's it going?
Charlie, we're doing great. Today's a great day for America because we're going to be fighting for America First candidates to actually hear their voice in a much more strong way for the election cycles and years moving forward. And so I'm excited to be partnered with you and going out and promoting the best people for the highest offices that we have in the land. And it's a big deal. It's a really big deal.
It's a big deal. And so I know a lot of you guys are tired of giving money to the Republican establishment and all that. We have our endorsements listed at tppack.com. That's tppack.com. We have our scorecards as well. It's a super, super clean website. You can see who we endorse in all the major races. So Tyler, tell the story of J.D. Vance, though.
I mean, I was the one that was really aggressively pushing for this. You totally agreed from the beginning. You said he's 100% with us. We did it. You and I got more messages from these numbskulls ever, text messages and phone calls. You're on the RNC. You're the committeeman for Arizona. You had all these people kind of barking in your ear being like, what, has Charlie lost his mind? And now he's the candidate. Tell the story of the power of what Turning Point PAC can do via the story of J.D. Vance.
Well, he's the next senator for the state of Ohio, and it's pretty exciting. You know, it was a little more than a year ago. We were down at our office, and J.D. had come down to Arizona and visited, and we got to spend some time with him and sit with him. And after you spent about 5 minutes with J.D. Vance, you know that this guy is exactly what we need to send to Washington. And so I will tell you this is what helped us at Turning Point PAC, you know, launch this. And Turning Point Action is launch the PAC here, because we realized that an individual like J.D. that has the background, the understanding of what's happening in America, and you know, the friends and financial supporting, the interest to run, the time commitment, you know, you can't say no to somebody like that. So there was some good candidates in the race. But as you mentioned, people thought we were kind of crazy to stick our neck out. Over a year ago, we stuck our neck out for JD and we said, JD's the guy, right? And this is what you need in an organization like a PAC that actually knows what they're talking about, is to actually go out and say, these are the people that need to go forward to Washington. We did that. We did that early. Charlie, you were great with JD. You've been helping JD. I know he's got some other friends too and other networks that are super friendly with him and have been really great in helping promote him, but doing it the right way. And he got out there, busted his butt, knocked doors, which is what we want, talked to the general public, and you know, he won the election and won Trump's endorsement, which is really critical, obviously, right now in politics. So that's we're proud. We're proud of the work that we did to put the inputs in last year, and proud that we were right and that we're seeing some change starting to happen across America. And it's going to start right in Ohio.
So let's talk about some of the endorsements. Turning Point PAC is getting behind, or some of the people, the candidates that we're going to support. Some of the races I think that are really important. Georgia, we have the wonderful Herschel Walker. We have, of course, Beau Hinds in North Carolina. We have Caroline Leavitt in New Hampshire. Younger type candidates. This is kind of the rise of the new right, if you will. The wonderful Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who is amazing on the vaccine and on COVID and all these different types of issues. Talk about the type of candidate that Turning Point PAC will be deploying resources for, and talk about what kind of, how necessary is this, Tyler? You sit on the RNC board, right? You're one of the more conservative members. In fact, you actually hosted a screening of 2000 Mules with Dinesh, and a lot of people didn't like that. How necessary is this in kind of the political landscape right now? I mean, there seems to be a lot of establishment type PACs. How rare is it to actually have a conservative America First one?
Well, I don't know if there really is a true conservative America First PAC that's not attached to Donald Trump himself. So, you know, I think what's the exciting part about what we're doing is, look, I mean, there's not very many organizations that are out there recruiting candidates, recruiting individuals into the conservative movement. And, you know, Charlie, you know, we've been the ones out there doing it. We kind of know the space. We know the people. We know the players. And so it's really important. I almost feel like it's incumbent on us, you know, as we're seeing these people come up, is to be able to call BS on those who are trying to come up and take advantage of the general public and run for office, even though they may not be prepared and they may not be America First. And it's important for us also to help move along activists, which I believe that we need to have a much more activist-oriented Congress. We need to have a much more activist-oriented legislature in your state. We need to have a much more activist-oriented school board in your community. And so our job is, let's take people, make them smarter, make them loyal to the American people rather than leadership in Congress, rather than lobbyists, and send them up the ladder here until they get into higher office. And so nobody's doing that in the same way that we are, in the way that we are identifying these people really at the birth of their activism. And we know who they are at an early age because we're youth-oriented. We're a youth-oriented organization. So we've known these people since they're 17, 18 years old, right? So it's really important for us to do that work for the American people, for the conservative movement.
Talk about some of the races that you're most excited about. Talk about, I know Anna Paulina is running in the Sarasota Pinellas County area. We have Bo Hines. What are some of the races where you have your eye on? You say, this is a chance to really get some rock stars elected. Anthony Sabatini is another one. Tell us
about it. Oh my gosh. There's so many cool places that we're focused on right now. Florida, obviously, is so important for the future of this country. Why? Because Ron DeSantis has completely turned Florida over on its head. Had it not been for Ron DeSantis, like it had not been for Trump in 2016, I think we would have lost Florida maybe forever. And Texas needs this. And Arizona needs this. And Georgia needs this. And Tennessee, by the way, needs this because they're heading in the direction of Georgia. And so I'm really excited because we have some really great candidates that we supported. You mentioned a few from Florida. Byron Donalds, who's currently in Congress, is incredible.
Yes.
He's been with us for a long time. Anna Paulina, we knew. We talked Anna Paulina out of going to medical school, you know. So this is our relationship with Anna. She came over, worked for Turning Point USA, was actually our Hispanic engagement director for a couple of years, and then moved on and decided to run for Congress. And she won the nomination last time, went up against Charlie Crist in a plus 10 Democrat district. And now redistricting's happening. And thanks to Ron DeSantis, she's going to be running in what looks to be a plus 7, plus 8 Republican district. So she's, as long as things go correctly here, she's going to be the next Congresswoman from Pinellas County there. And we're really excited about that. You brought up Anthony Sabatini. Anthony Sabatini is one of our rock stars that we've endorsed as well on the Action and PAC side. He is probably the most, I would say probably, he would be offended by that. He is the most conservative member of the legislature in Florida. Young guy, he's going to be awesome. So, I mean, look, we're identifying these young, incredible conservatives who are going to go into Congress, and they're not going to get bought off by lobbyists and leadership. And they're going to listen to the grassroots activists. They're going to work hard. And, you know, that's what we're going to find more of. And they're going to be leadership for the movement forward here. So we're really excited for that.
So, yeah, I mean, look, if you have Anna Paulina, Anthony Sabatini, Madison's in a tough race. We're going to talk about that one. You and I are going to talk about that later. But that's a separate. I think we're going to have Madison on the program in 2 weeks. We're going to ask him about everything, right? Exclusive AMA. And I love Madison. And he's going to kind of just talk to us plainly about what's happened. And there is a coordinated attack against Madison Cawthorn, I can tell you right now. Bo Hines, who's great. Caroline Leavitt, who's great. I mean, you talk about it. I mean, imagine the kind of disruption that this will cause. I mean, this will make the squad look like nothing, right? And, I mean, but also, Tyler, we're also not going to just involve in primaries. We're also going to try to oppose Democrats, right? So talk about Arizona. Is Mark Kelly, can we beat him? What will it take to beat Mark Kelly coming in November?
Well, here's like a cool example that you're bringing up in Arizona, where I'm from, and we're there, and you know, Charlie, half of Charlie's life now is Arizona. He's a.
I live in Arizona now.
He's an Arizona resident. We've got, I think, three candidates that can beat Mark Kelly right now in Arizona. We've got a couple that I think are the most conservative, and that's going to play out. And Turning Point Action is going to play a role, I think, in helping isolate the field, if you will. And then Turning Point PAC, you know, will potentially play in this race as well. But you mentioned it, Mark Kelly is a well-funded, you know, bot of a Democrat who they just wanted to plug him in to take advantage of a weak Republican class, which is what basically happened in Arizona. I mean, the reality is this, is that John McCain died. And his replacement was a failed election of a U.S. senator in Martha McSally. And that's how we ended up with Mark Kelly. We shouldn't have Mark Kelly today. If the Republican Party knew what they were doing, we wouldn't have that. And so I'm really excited because I think we have a handful of candidates. We have at least one or two candidates, I think, that can beat Mark Kelly, have the support of Mark Kelly, the support to beat Mark Kelly, and be a long-term great example of what the future of the Republican Party should look like. And, you know, that starts with punching Mark Kelly back in the mouth, so to speak, here, because he is the most anti-gun, anti-freedom legislator that we have in the U.S. Senate.
That's exactly right. And we're going to – so we don't have any immediate plans to get involved in Arizona, the Senate race,
But we definitely have plans to oppose Mark Kelly out of the gate. We got to try to get his favorables down, right? And that's part of what the PAC needs to do, is also oppose these Democrats and expose their record, right, very, very early on. The website is tppac.com. That is tppac.com. Have you looked at how much of Russia is inside your 401k or IRA? Did you know my friends at PAX Financial Group have zero investments in Russia through their biblical investment strategy? Those companies were screened out long ago because they didn't pass the treat people right test. One of the most important tenets of the Christian faith is to love your neighbor, and this includes to love your employees. Based on PAX's biblical responsible investment strategy, a company, domestic or international, is excluded from an investment from your portfolio if it violates our innate God-given fundamental rights. So PAX Financial is wonderful. They share our values. In fact, I know people that have switched to PAX Financial from our partnership, and they speak so favorably about it. Stop using the woke money managers. PAX Financial is rooted in biblical wisdom. So if you have $150,000 or more and would like to know more about biblical responsible investing at PAX Financial Group, text CHARLIE to number 74868. That's CHARLIE at number 74868. That's CHARLIE to number 74868. So you just take out your phone, text the number 74868, and type in CHARLIE to get to know about PAX Biblical Responsible Investing. Biblical Responsible Investing Strategy. Take out your phone, text CHARLIE to 74868. They're about to manage some money for me. I really think highly of PAX Financial. Text CHARLIE to number 74868.
Tyler, tell us about redistricting. You were one of the few voices warning us about the war on the maps. Two developments have happened since we last talked. They threw out the maps in New York saying they were too partisan, and Ron DeSantis decided to sign in pretty awesome maps in Florida. Give us the update.
Yeah, I mean, so for everybody that's been kind of semi-paying attention, we won't get into too much of the weeds here or too much backtracking, but redistricting happens every 10 years. It's a complete nightmare in every state. It has to happen very quickly. Mm-hmm. It delays us in basically what are our first elections for the decade, because we don't find out lines until very late. And basically how it works in most states is that it's up to the legislature to draw new lines, and the governor has to pass it, you know, sign off on it like it's a bill, right? And so that's how they do it. Now, some states like Arizona and California and some other states, they have what they've instituted is called an independent redistricting commission. And they've done this intentionally. The Democrats have done this intentionally because they found it's a better way to control the process and then work on maps that benefit Democrats, obviously, right? So, you know, I'm not a big fan of gerrymandering. You're not a big fan of gerrymandering, no matter who it is. Mm-hmm. But one thing that is for certain is what we've seen is that the Democrats have been much more focused, much more encouraged by their processes that they've taken with these independent redistricting commissions. And they've gone into the states where they control, like states like New York and New Jersey and Washington and Oregon and California, and they've completely dominated Republicans in the redistricting process. And so what happens along the way is that it's totally disenfranchised Republicans in those states. And so it's making them more blue through redistricting. That's why we've ended up in the place that we are today, where it's not like the old days where like you would see states go back and forth. There'd be Democrat and Republican and Democrat. Part of the reason why they're not any longer is because of this redistricting process that they've instituted that's made these states impossible for Republicans to regain any kind of control in Congress, any kind of control in their community. And so, you know, very few Republicans, unfortunately, in most states, even where we have, you know, monumental control like Texas and other places, they just didn't go to the wall and trying to claim back territory. And so the only person mm-hmm. that I can really speak to who's done this is Ron DeSantis in Florida, who the moderate people in the legislature tried to send him a pretty moderate map. And he was like, absolutely not, send it back. I don't want to see it until it comes back more conservative. And he got his way, and it looks like that we're going to have extremely conservative maps, which is why we're going to have more conservative legislators in Congress, meaning congressmen, right? So we're really, really grateful to Ron DeSantis for that. But everybody needs to follow Ron DeSantis' leadership. And the big question that I have is, you know, where is the Republican Governors Association in all this? Where are our leaders coming out and speaking up and holding accountable, you know, our Republican governors we have in Democrat states. You know, we have some Northeastern Republican governors in blue states who could have really screwed the Democrat Party by playing hardball, and they just have chosen not to. And so for that reason, the maps today that are being developed look pretty similar, if not maybe potentially worse than they were 10 years ago. And we viewed 10 years ago as a total loss, yeah, from a redistricting standpoint. So,
yeah. And so Ron DeSantis holding the line in Florida was generally very good. And the fact that the New York maps have been put in jeopardy is also very good. Okay. Tyler, thanks so much. TPPAC.com. That is TPPAC.com. It's going to be news on the wire very soon. So check it out. And if you guys have any resources to give to it, it'll go to America First Candidates and helping us move the dial. So TPPAC.com. Thank you, Tyler. See you
directly to them, Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, or support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.